Calling this meeting to order. Please note that the meeting is being recorded on and live streamed via District's Facebook Live. It'll be available on YouTube within 24 hours. This week, we also went on the district's Facebook page and reviewed the agenda when it was disclosed via the Brown Act. Just a few quick things. We apologize for our closed session running over the number of issues and topics we had to cover. with that being said, next item up is Pledge of Allegiance. Request that Kyle Crowther lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Next up, we'd like to have Reverend Joe Vendove of the Rialto Unified Methodist Church.
That would be Rialto United Methodist Church.
Okay. Thank you.
We pause for a moment, O God, our Creator, to ask for your guidance, for your presence in everything we do in life and in this meeting. We know that you are the source of wisdom, and all of us need wisdom. As we work in the agenda in this meeting, O God, we pray that you will lead us to address the needs and the concerns of our community with wisdom and knowledge. Thank you for giving us this privilege to serve our community and to serve one another. This we pray in your name through our God in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Reverend Vendall. Appreciate your patience in praying over us this evening. Next up is the roll call by Secretary Crystal Escalera. Secretary.
Dr. Michael Taylor.
Present.
Dr. Greg Young.
Here.
Dr. Clifford Young.
Here.
Vice President Kyle Crowther.
Here.
President Channing Hawkins.
Here. Next, we'd like to report out of closed session. General Counsel Tafoya.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first thing is we had a it's a ministerial administrative issue, typographical error on our closed session agenda. It had on our closed session agenda Maria Guerrero v. West Valley Water District, and that case was not discussed. The case that was discussed was the Kenny Hernandez v. West Valley Water District, so that correction has been made. And there were no final action taken on any of our other closed session items.
Okay, thank you for that report. Thank you for that report. Next up, the adoption of the agenda. There are a few items on the agenda that we know we want to table or pool. That is the CIP budget and contract amendments to implement a computerized maintenance management system. Number 9, and then number 10, we want to table this item and give direction to the general counsel on this matter. And number 11, we also want to table that item.
Okay. Direction is, Mr. President, regarding these?
The number 9, we want to table that to our next meeting.
Okay.
And number 10, we want advice from the general counsel on this matter for preparation for our next meeting.
Okay.
And then number 11, we want to table to our next meeting.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any adjustments they want to make to the agenda?
No, Mr. President.
All right. With that being said, let's adopt the agenda. Secretary Escalera?
I'll second it.
Oh, yes. I second it. And Secretary Escalera?
And again, the motion is to adopt the agenda with the exceptions of number 9, 10, and 11, which will be tabled to the February 6th meeting. Is that correct, President Hawkins?
Yes.
Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Channing Hawkins?
Yes. Next up, Board Secretary Escalera, please read our statement regarding public participation.
Any person wishing to speak to the Board of Directors on matters listed or not listed on the agenda within its jurisdiction is asked to complete a speaker card and submit it to the district clerk. Each speaker is limited to 3 minutes. Under the State of California Brown Act, the board... I apologize, let me switch over to my other version. The Board of Directors is prohibited from discussing or taking action on any items not listed on the posted agenda. Comments related to the notice public hearings and business matters will be heard during the occurrence of the item. Public communication is the time for anyone to address the board on any agenda item or anything under the jurisdiction of the district. No person will be allowed to make comments or at any other time in the meeting except if there is a public hearing. Also, please remember that no disruptions from the crowd will be tolerated. If someone disrupts the meeting, they will be removed.
Thank you, Secretary Escalera. I'm going to read the cards of speakers. First up, Anthony Ariza, Butch Ariza, wants to speak. I'm sorry, Butch.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the board. Once again, you're disrespectful to the people in the audience. Your closed session, roll back the agenda items to the first part where it says what time the meeting starts. Right there, 6:30 p.m. If you can't get your closed session done by 6:30, adjourn your closed session or go back into closed session after the general meeting. You're supposed to have your meeting start at 6:30, so start it at 6:30. You're being disrespectful to all these people out here that come to hear what you have to say about the general meeting. We don't know about what you're doing in your closed session meeting. That's your business. But quit being disrespectful to everybody here.
Next up, Gil Navarro, San Bernardino Valley Municipal Water District.
Good evening, Board President, board members. My name is Gil Navarro. I'm a director of Division 2, the San Bernardino Valley Municipal Water District. It encompasses the west side of San Bernardino, city of Colton, and most of Bloomington. I have a map here I'm going to share with your board secretary regarding the disadvantaged community tracts. Not the fact that a majority is in Division 2, a lot of it in Bloomington, at the west side of San Bernardino. But I've been encouraging Valley District to develop a workshop to gather financial resources that we can share with our fellow retailers, where the disadvantaged communities that lie specific like in your district. I know there's a lot of areas that have septics. You can use that money to hook them up to sewers if that's appropriate for West Valley. I know the city of Rialto put in for a SOPA grant and they received over $300,000 just for planning to look at what septics on the north end of Rialto to possibly convert over to connect to sewer. There is a provision also for sidewalks that you can also indicate with the gutters, like for flood concerns. But I feel that I'm not sure a lot of the retailers are doing enough or knowledgeable of the financial resources. So I'm promoting that with our general manager to gather information and data. And we'll have a future workshop, and I've been working with Jeremiah, and I know you have your map of the disadvantaged communities, so I'm glad that you're looking at it yourselves. So I just want to be helpful to see how Valley can help West Valley Water District. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Board Member Navarro. I appreciate your statements. Please leave it with the Board Secretary. I look forward to following up with you And General Manager, if you could make sure that we follow up to have a workshop with Mr. Navarro on that important and critical topic. Thank you very much. Okay, next up we have Don Griggs. Don, and special note, Don Griggs is going to speak for himself and then speak for Mr. Hardy Brown as an accommodation.
A correction, if you would, please. Oh. I'm speaking in behalf of myself and Mr. Hardy Brown.
Yes.
Okay, not Wait, separately.
Okay. So you're just going to make one statement, not
yes.
two.
Absolutely.
Understood.
Okay. Don Griggs, West Valley Water District Ratepayers Association, and Mr. Hardy Brown, ADA. When we got involved with the district back in December 2017, it was not to tell, it was not to tell anyone who to hire, but it was to ensure no one was fired unjustly or by illegal means that violated your policies or labor laws. We have held true to that mission because once you hire them, especially one another, and especially management, directors should treat them with dignity and respect. Having said that, we now have directors who have fired employees illegally, calling for more of the same in the press that the general manager must go. Mr. Greg Young, haven't you cost the district enough in legal fees and employee settlements and the loss of employee litigation, $5 million insurance policy? I know about the at-will worker law, and all of the ones you fired work under that law, yet you paid them to settle. And the district is still trying to crawl out from under your bad decisions. Just recently, your Robert Christman decision has raised its head. Robert Christman was hired by you and Dr. Young as interim general manager. Then you made him general manager, but within weeks, you made him assistant chief financial officer, placed him on administrative leave, and told us he had retired, but the other Young said he resigned. Which one was it? Now we have a Christman family seeking clarification because they thought the head of the Christman family was still employed with the district. And Carl, the son, showed you a signed document by then President Clifford Young. So don't tell me about Mr. Mansell or Dr. Michael Taylor and what they're doing. You started this mess. Now you want to act like your hands are clean. You taught them how the game is played in this district. Some have accused us of playing the race card. Well, we are playing the hand that you dealt us when you called Mr. Mansell a shoeshiner. I told you about that conversation at another meeting. You are not the only agency with racial issues in this area. In the city of San Bernardino, they're calling black men boys once again. Yes, that's right, using the word boy with black men. I want to thank President and Mr. Hawkins for keeping his promise for transparency, because when we left the meeting last week, we were able to view the rest of the meeting in the comfort of our home. We will comment on that at the next special board meeting. We are so angry, I almost forgot to say, I hope you had a happy New Year celebration. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Next up is Diana Ariza. Please come forward.
My name is Diana Ariza, a ratepayer of West Valley. I'm here tonight to question the contract for Chamberlain PR firm. First, Mr. Hawkins seems to think it's a qualifier that he has known the gentleman for 20 years and had a small donation to his campaign. I think it should be a disqualifier. It's business as usual. Get your friends high-paying jobs at West Valley. They have lots of money. The district went for over 50 years without a PR firm. They had three employees who put out press releases and did PR with the schools and ratepayers at minimal expense. West Valley is a water agency whose main purpose is to deliver clean water. Until all the corruption began with Clifford's election to the board, there was no need for a PR firm to distract from the constant turmoil and litigation. Then all of a sudden we have a bunch of guys, five, who are looking to go up in the political ladder, and they need a PR firm to get their name out there for future political endeavors. If you're not a crook, you don't need someone touting the good things you think you are doing. Also, a big article was in the newspaper this week about employees who should have never been hired if they had had background checks. Are these employees going to remain at the district because you think we will forget about the article? Think again. We will continue to watch what is going on, and I, for one, will continue to post all the negative issues that this board brings to West Valley.
Thank you, Ms. Ariza. Next up, we have Gary Grosich from Bloomington. Matt.
Good evening, President Hawkins, board members. My name is Gary Grosich. I'm a vice chair of the Bloomington Municipal Advisory Council, but today I come to you as a ratepayer of the district. I think you have an opportunity to attend a special meeting, and I'm going to be out of town for the next special meeting. But something popped up that was kind of deja vu all over again. It has to do with Dr. Bill Mathis. And Dr. Mathis, 10 years ago, I was actively involved in Colton and led a citizens group that recalled the mayor of Colton in 2008. It was a very controversial time within the city of Colton with a lot of the same issues that you're facing. And so Dr. Bill Mathis at that time was hired by the city manager of Colton with a $25,000 discretionary contract. Thereafter, he was coming to Colton to give us ethics training and set up a manual of procedures. Unbeknownst to the rest of the city council, the city manager proceeded to allow Mr. Mathis to rack up over $60,000 in billables. And when it was discovered, the city council initially refused to pay the bill because they did not authorize the payments. And once the city manager went over his $25,000 in discretionary funds and went into what we call chain contracts, that became over that person's, over the city manager's level to do that, to take that action. During that period of time, Colton was in dire straits. They were forced to lay off over 100 people, and our city was almost bankrupt. But as far as Dr. Bill Mathis, he did provide an ethics training manual. But in the meantime, he was a headhunter for the city of Covina. And while our city manager was under the gun because of his malfeasance, Dr. Mathis, while providing services that he was being paid for by the city manager, unbeknownst to city council, was involved in a headhunting operation for a city manager in the city of Covina, of which our Colton city manager became one of the finalists. Although Dr. Mathis did not do the actual hiring, he was involved in whittling the candidates down from 60 to approximately, I believe it was 5. So, you know, I guess my question is, and not being involved in this agency, I just see things that I've never seen before in other agencies. Is there some type of a limit that a general manager can spend on contracts before the board is required to authorize that? And do we have any type of ethics manual or manual of procedures? And if so, can we post them in the spirit of our new transparency? Can we post them online so the ratepayers of this community can see if these policies, if they exist, are being implemented and adhered to by the board members. So those are my comments, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your service to our community. Just real quick, I know you said that you won't be here for the next special meeting. As was noted, all of our meetings are now on Facebook, on the agency's website, and so whether you be there in person or you want to have some good viewing on a Thursday night, you can go ahead and watch us there. Thank you. I just wanted to address that. Next up is we have a presentation, the update on, there are no other cards here. So without any other speakers, we're moving on to the information section of the agenda. Unless there's an update on FXB, FBR. Staff, for all the staff members, please state your name, your position.
Good evening, President Hawken and members of the board. Joanne Chan, operations manager. An update on the current status of the FXB plan, sorry, FBL plan first. We took the plan offline on December 30th due to process issue. So we took advantage of the situation and bump up our filter under drain and repair project. So now it's currently underway. The project is anticipated to be completed within 2 months. And once the project is completed, we will restart the plant. We always need ways to address our FBL or FXB reject water. So currently, we do have two options. Option one is to discharge into captive basin. And we have to be mindful of not creating habitat and control mosquito populations. And under the term of the current agreement with flood control, we do have to obtain all of the environmental permits to maintain the basin. And the district hasn't executed the draft agreement with California Fish and Wildlife due to a proposed $2.5 million mitigation cost. And then option two would be to discharge into Rialto sewage system. It looks like the city will be charging us on the discharge fee, so that would be pretty costly. But in the meantime, we are in the process of amending our long-term permit to up the discharge flow from 250 to 2,000 gallons a minute. And then option three is to convert existing well 33 to an injection well. The budgetary estimate is about $1.5 million, and the project hasn't started yet. An update on the FXB. The district hasn't taken over the FXB from Corolo yet. A major issue that we have is the FXB cannot sustain long run time, and Corolo has been working on our punch list items. And Jess Brown is actually here with us to give us a brief update.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I guess, first of all, just happy to answer any questions you have. I know we didn't get a lot of chance to talk last week. Couple main comments. The punch list items are not overly surprising to me or to anyone in my firm. They're relatively minor. We're working through each of them. Pleased with the plant. Not happy that it's taken us this long to optimize it, but we're not far. We're committed to seeing the full optimization of the plant and movement to a place where Sergio and Lance and Brian are all pleased with its operation. So, you know, once we have a place to discharge the water, we'll start it back up and we'll wrap up a couple of the remaining punch list items. We're not far and would certainly enjoy an opportunity to speak with you in more detail to answer any questions at any time if you have any.
Joanne, if you can come back to the dais, if you don't mind. I just wanted to ask you about this system a little bit. Now, how does the system impact our ability to deliver water to our ratepayers?
Currently, not so much, because well 6 pumps into our FBL plan, and the maximum capacity for that well is 2,000 gallons a minute. Mm-hmm. And the FBL can actually treat that capacity. Mm-hmm. So having the FXB on or off, it doesn't really affect our operations.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions regarding this?
I do for
in the presentation.
Yeah. Sir, do you have an estimate on when we might be able to resolve these remaining items? Because I know you had kind of briefly hinted that. I mean, we've kind of gone beyond our initial plan, but we know that this technology takes a while to get it dialed in, just, mm-hmm. you know, so it's not a shock, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of question as far as, you know, are we a few months away? I mean, 6 months away? I mean, just ballpark? I mean, I realize you can't be exact.
Sure. Once we have a place to discharge and we start the plant back up, that's really the rate determining step for us.
Mm-hmm.
Once that's in place, you know, if we have a month left of optimization, I'd be surprised.
Okay.
So it's short term.
We
have the permit.
Yeah.
We've completed all the work that DDW wanted us to achieve. It's really just getting into the plant.
It's
to
just
a place
optimized.
Where I want it,
yeah.
So the operators don't have to work on it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think we have a month or less.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
This concludes my report. The remaining slides shows history of the projects for the board members to review if wanted.
Okay. Well, thank you for your report. I know you put a lot of effort in getting this together. I know you and Sergio, you guys worked in. It gave us a really substantial briefing, and we appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next up is the presentation for the Special District Leadership Foundation. Assistant General Manager Jeremiah Brzezowski.
So at the direction of the board president, we were asked to put together basically a presentation on our path to excellence and how we get there with the Special District Leadership Foundation. So I worked with our new public affairs analyst, Cynthia Britz, and we went through the whole process, and she's going to be giving an update on how we get to the road to excellence.
So much. Good evening, President Hawkins.
I'm sorry, Ms. Britz, can you please turn on your microphone?
Good evening. President Hawkins and distinguished board members, thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name is Cynthia Burtz. I am the public affairs analyst, and I am super excited to have my first project here with the district and excited about the project. So the District of Distinction takes us on a path that is close to our president's heart. He is pushed the issue of trends. I can't even speak English right now. Transparency. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and get right into it. Nerves are kicking in. Mm-hmm. So, what is a district of distinction? Well, the District of Distinction is the highest level of recognition awarded to the district by our Special District Leadership Foundation. The Special District Leadership Foundation is a nonprofit third-party organization that oversees education and certifications in different areas and arenas for special districts of California State. The recognition incorporates completion of all these Special District Leadership Foundation programs, and they demonstrate a comprehensive approach to excellence in district administration and governance. So we're on a fast track to excellence for transparency, accountability, and public approval. What we're doing today is attain the District Transparency Certification of Excellence certification. The certification covers three main subjects: basic transparency requirements, web requirements, and outreach requirements. These are requirements that are set up by the state of California, and as long as we do have all of these in place and samples of these, we are able to get the certification of excellence. Earning the certification demonstrates to our constituents and our stakeholders that we have a commitment, and we're maintaining that commitment to being open and accessible to our public. The application process. In researching this, I was really excited to see that this is something that we can go ahead and get started today. To begin this process, we submit an application with a sample document from these topics here: the Brown Act compliance, our Public Record Act compliance, the reimbursement policy that we already have in place, our annual disclosures, conflict of interest policy, code of ethics policy, board vacancy announcements, and public budget hearing. Once we've submitted these, we have a 2-week evaluation period, and we are approved. Once we're approved, that takes us on the fast track to the District of Distinction at a basic level. Step two, gain recognition in special district governance. In order to receive the certificate of recognition in special district governance, all of our board members, each of you, will be responsible for the following steps. Governance, we will attend a special district leadership academy in which you will learn the four basic training modules: governance foundation, setting direction in community leadership, board role in human resources, board role in finance and fiscal accountability. And once those are completed, you will have additional 2 or 10 hours of continuing education. Now, with your current ethics and harassment certifications, that covers 4 hours already. So you are already on track to receive these certifications.
Don't tell all the board members that we got to go back to school.
To complete, right? We'll complete and submit the recognition in a special district's governance application. And once we have done that, we take ourselves to the District of Distinction Silver status. You'll notice that there are some asterisks behind that, and that's if we do this all together and get all of the board on board, we can jumpstart and take us into gold much faster. Step three is the Special District Administration Certification, voluntary designation sought by individuals who strive to be the best at what they do. Our administrators here, various academic and professional backgrounds, will be candidates for this program. Guided by the state, by the SDLF Board Certification Advisory Committee and under direction of professional examination development firms. This is all included in your application fees. The certification will give our successful administrators recognition unmatched by any other programs. The certification will help us document and recognize our team's knowledge, skills, and capabilities as special district administrators. Certificate will earn us recognition at the gold level. Now, this is something that's, we are on a fast track to get this done. Platinum level, the highest level of recognition for the district. This accreditation incorporates the completion of all of the Special District Leadership Foundation programs, demonstrating a comprehensive approach to excellence in district administration. And this is a basic breakdown here of how fast we can get to where we need to go. Our goal is transparency. Transparency is our first certification. As soon as we get that, we're at the basic level of District of Distinction. We can apply for that today with the board's direction. Recognition and governance is the next step in which the board will go ahead and complete that certification. With that and the general manager completing the SDA certification, we're looking at platinum status, and we have an attainable goal of reaching this platinum level by December 2020. So with everyone on board working together in partnership with the Special District Leadership Foundation, third party, foundation offering 4 programs to promote good governance and best practices among California state special districts. Special district administration certification is 1. Recognition and special district governance is 2. District transparency, certification of excellence, district of distinction. The Special District Leadership Foundation and its activities are supported by the California Special District Association. And they are also a third party not-for-profit that is formed to promote good governance and improve core local services through professional development, advocacy, and other services for all types of independent special districts. The California Special District Association provides services such as education, training, and most importantly, current updates that's critical to our movement forward. Timeline, today, with your direction, we can go ahead and start the process of applying for the District Transparency Certification of Excellence. April 19th through the 22nd, 2020, the Board of Directors can attend the Special District Leadership Conference, and that completes all 4 required modules. The application for recognition in Special District can be submitted for approval. Next, June 28th through the 30th, 2020, the General Manager and the Executive Team attend the General Manager Leadership Summit. Once the General Manager has passed the Special District Administrative Test, which he is already in process of applying for, The application for special district administrator certification can be submitted for approval. And our goal date, by December 2020, West Valley Water District will be recognized as a district of distinction, platinum level. Earning these certificates demonstrates to our ratepayers, community, legislators, that we are committed to operating in a sound, responsible, and transparent manner. West Valley Water District striving for excellence through transparency. Any questions?
First of all, I want to thank you for your presentation. I know it's a lot of work that went into this. I do want to say a little something about this particular certification. It is important that we set a benchmark of where we want to be. The criteria that are set in order to achieve platinum status are essential for our organization to be on the right track, for us to set our own goals and objectives as far as our transparency, our governance, finance, HR practices. And I think it's a critical step that we have an outside organization like this that is very credible, that is certified. I think close to 200 of the special agencies, that's less than 10% of them. I think there's somewhere around there. And we need to join that club. Special districts, water agencies, and so forth that are adjacent to us. I think Inland Empire Utilities Agency has some certifications. I don't think they have the platinum certification. But I think West Basin has the platinum certification and others. And I think that it's really important. I'm glad you all did this presentation. If there's any more questions the board has about it, please ask.
Not so much a question, just a comment. I do want to thank staff for putting this together and commend President Hawkins for this push. I do want to disclose, though, that upon reviewing these slides, I noticed the dates, which, I was not aware of the dates, and then I got a calendar invite from Crystal, so I made it very clear to her I cannot miss work right now. And I know June's probably heard me complain about this going back about 5 years now, that they have really good classes. I've been to some of their stuff before, but they always plan it during the week. And while that's great for the 80% of special district directors who are retirees, it doesn't work out so good for those of us who actually have a full-time day job. So I have asked the board secretary to do some research into alternative ways in which I can meet those courses, but for me right now, I just cannot miss a couple days of work like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are alternative ways for you.
Yeah, and she's going to look into it. And so whether that's a special one where they just do it on a weekend or some combination of online, I just wanted to disclose that.
Did you all, I think there are already some alternatives or options that we can have with, and this is just a presentation. We are not,
correct.
This isn't, yeah. I want everybody to be clear. We haven't taken a vote yet. This is our presentation for us to know what it is, and then therefore, hopefully at the subsequent meeting, we'll have a formal adoption. But are there alternative ways outside of the dates just listed for us to take the training courses? Can you give us a background?
Yeah, there absolutely are. They offer several different methods as far as either we can attend somebody else's seminar, and that can be on the weekend. So what they do is a need base, and if we wanted to, we could even host our own seminar here for all of our staff and include the board members, if that's what you guys so choose to do.
I mean, I think I'll step out on a limb here. I mean, this is probably the first time this board has had a majority of members who still work for the day. I know that I would be very appreciative of an option like that, because again, in the past, I think, prior to all of us being up here, I think pretty much everybody's been on this board probably for the last 20 plus years have all been retirees, so it's easy for them to go to something during the week. But again, I'm an hourly employee, and so anytime I miss, I gotta make up, and that's not fun.
Okay. Any other questions anybody else has? Okay, so with this, we do want you to go back, receiving some feedback. We haven't, it wasn't set up for us to take a vote this evening. However, as far as the beginning and completing of the application, I think I can give direction to that we start to complete the application. And now also, as far as the alternatives and figuring out what we can do so we can facilitate a program, are these programs on the weekend or other times that are more, whether it's evening or online, as far as exploring that, and then bring us an update.
Yeah, I've done
regard.
Some of their online stuff before, going back a few years, and it's very good content. You can kind of do, it's like self-paced online type stuff. So I just told her to look into that for me.
Okay. Yeah, and I think these two are running point with the project. So work with Crystal, and you guys figure all that out. All right. Being there, knowing there aren't any other questions, thank you for your presentation. I really appreciate it. We all appreciate it, your time and effort. Next up is the
Mr. President, the direction from the board was to complete that application. Is that right?
Yes, to begin the application. And then we're going to, do we have to vote before it's submitted? Okay, we can
bring it back.
We can bring it back. But then also for the project team and Crystal to work together to find out what alternatives they have on the weekend, online, or other times that we can be able to facilitate the trainings. Okay. Okay. Next up is the consent calendar. All matters listed under the consent calendar are considered routine and will be enacted by one vote. Oh, actually, that's you that read that, huh, Crystal?
Stealing her thunder.
No, I'm stealing your board.
Yes, I can read that for you. All matters listed under the consent calendar are considered routine and will be enacted by one vote. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a member of the board of directors, staff member, or any member of the public requests a specific item to be removed for separate action.
Okay. Now, Mr. Mandelbaum, there were some concerns or revisions that you wanted with this, with these reports?
Yes.
Okay.
So actually there's one on the treasurer's report. The treasurer's report is prepared by Clifton Larson, our outside treasurer. And during my review of that report, I noticed that there was an error where they used the August ending balance instead of the September's ending balance. So I reached out to them and they corrected it and presented me with a revised report, which I have in my possession. So I can give it to the clerk to include in the package.
Yes.
Was it a significant error?
No, they just used the wrong month ending balance. They used August instead of September.
What were the difference in the numbers?
The August ending balance was 12,709,736.10. The September's balance was 12 million.
That wasn't a little oversight right there.
12,703,049.18. So wasn't a huge balance difference, about $6,600, somewhere around there, approximately. $6,686.92. That was the difference.
Mr. President, I move that we move the consent calendar with the amended treasurer's report, and if we can just also make sure that gets updated so the public can view that, the corrected one, online.
Yes. Is there a second? No. Dr. Young, second. The handout. Yes. If you can pass that out. Or I don't know if he has copies, but just
I
give it
one.
To Crystal so she can. Yeah, just one. Secretary Escalera.
Director Dr. Michael Taylor.
Yes.
Director Greg Young.
Yes.
Director Dr. Clifford Young.
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther.
Yes.
President Channing Hawkins.
Yes.
Okay.
Moving on to the business matters. First one, item number 7, approval of payment to the Kaufman Law Firm for professional services rendered in October 2018, invoice number 10130 for $24,430, and January 2018, invoice number 10140 for $69,120.75. I believe we, last meeting, we requested that Mr. Kaufman attend the meeting to explain why the bills came in so the bills were sent in so late, being that they're from now 2 years ago. I think that was your question. Okay. And I think he prepared a response.
You're correct, President Hawkins. Response was handed to me. This was received from HJC Law Group, APC, addressed to Mr. Robert Tafoya regarding the West Valley Water District investigation regarding Clifford Young. And it states, "Dear Mr. Tafoya, as you know, I represent attorney Martin J. Kaufman, Esquire, in the Kaufman Law Firm. I am writing this letter in response to Greg Young's request and my client, Mr. Kaufman, to personally attend the district's next board of directors meeting and address the timing of his law firm's bills. It is my understanding that during the December 19th, 2019 meeting of the district's board of directors, BOD, the Kaufman Law Firm's TKLF billings, as reflected in invoices 10130 and 10140, were on calendar to be approved. However, Director Greg Young apparently took steps to remove these billings from the agenda, apparently before the meeting even started, and made a formal motion, which Director and Quitam Plaintiff Clifford Young apparently seconded. For whatever reasons, Director Young then requested that my client personally attend the next BOD meeting and address the timing of his firm's bills. I find the actions of Director Greg Young to be highly suspicious, given that he is a percipient witness to client's recent investigation of his admitted confederate, Director and Quitam Plaintiff Clifford Young, and conspicuously the only individual who has offered multiple declarations in support of the meritless Quitam lawsuit, which Mr. Kaufman and his firm were needlessly drawn into. To add to the suspect nature of this inquiry, I note that Clifford Young is the target of this investigation and the subject of my client's billings. To say that these directors are conflicted is an obvious understatement. Equally suspect is the fact that this Young and Young-driven inquiry has nothing to do with the substance of my client's billings, but rather the timing of the second and final bill submitted in October 2019. If nothing else, it certainly begs a question, given that my clients had in fact performed the completed this voluminous piece of work and were under no legal contractual obligation to submit these bills at some earlier point in time. What exactly are they driving at? As you know, during the TKLF investigation and before it rendered conclusion, Mr. Kaufman and TKLF were maliciously drawn into frivolous lawsuits for nothing more than exercising their First Amendment rights, as well as the district's First Amendment right, and were consequently required to incur great expense to defend themselves from spurious allegations by the very BOD members who now conspicuously question the timing of these bills. Significantly, while I now stand in a position where both they and I, there is no one scintillion of evidence to justify any of these factually and legally frivolous claims against Mr. Kaufman and or his firm. My clients have been and continue to be irreparably harmed by their malicious conduct. Given what I know about Directors Young and Young, it is reasonable to believe that their actions are simply a veiled attempt to harm my client, which will not be tolerated. Therefore, unless and until the Youngs provide me with a reasonable explanation for the purported concerns, I am neither inclined to permit Mr. Kaufman to explain the timing of his law firm's bills, which reflect a substantial amount of work that benefited the district, nor is Mr. Kaufman legally obligated to do so. To be clear, if these directors unwisely choose to use this as some poor excuse to not pay their bills for the work that my clients legitimately and competently perform, they do so at their own risk. I am supremely confident that any trier of fact will look at my client's work and easily substantiate their billing. Moreover, given that the BOD made no requests to TKLF to submit same prior to the submissions, I am equally confident that no trier of fact will determine that the TKLF acted in any sort of dilatory manner. In closing, if the BOD believes that TKLF's billings is somehow overstated, incorrect, and or illegal, it is the BOD's obligation to inform me of such in writing and in great detail. Absent such in showing, I will assume, as the law provides, that the district has no real issue with these bills and will therefore expect prompt payment in full. Should you have any questions, please contact me at my office at your earliest convenience. Signed, H. Jason Cohen, Esquire of HJC Law Group, APAC.
Okay. That's their response. Based on that, I'm going to put a that we're going to need a table this item regarding their approval of their bills to the next meeting. Any issue with that?
For me,
I would say just pay it. The guy did the investigation, and we owe him the money.
Are you making a motion, Mr. President?
Well, no, it would be the vice president. I was trying to table it.
How about I'll make a motion? I make a motion that we pay the gentleman for his work. That is my motion.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion?
Well, I think I should at least give a brief statement since he went to such lengths to attack me for, I think, asking a fairly reasonable question. I mean, I've never disputed that Mr. Kaufman did work on behalf of this agency, but when the last billing is from 6:30 and we don't get the bill for close to 6 months, it's kind of raises some questions on why didn't we get this sooner, you know? And I don't think it was out of line to ask such questions. I'm disappointed that Mr. Kaufman decided to personally attack me as he did, because my job is to, you know, fight for the ratepayers. And, you know, when you get bills out of nowhere, when you thought the work was done almost half a year ago, you're darn right that I'm going to ask questions about it. And that's my legal right. That does not impugn his credibility. It does not damage him in any way. I simply wanted clarification, you know, and I don't think that that's unreasonable. And like I said, I'm rather disappointed Mr. Kaufman decided to take this direction he did. So I would be in favor of tabling it too, but, you know, the board wants to vote for it, fine. But to me, I can't approve something which is this questionable. And unless you're going to answer my question, how can I come to a reasonable conclusion? So thank you.
Mr. President, there's a motion on the table.
Okay. Dr. Young?
I also want to remind the board, if you can speak into the microphones when making your comments.
Yes.
I'm trying, but my voice is a little raspy. I've been sick.
I didn't hear that.
Just speak up into the mic.
Cliff, your mic's not on, just so you know. The button, I think you got to push it on. There it is. It's on.
There we go.
I'm requesting that this item be tabled and looked in further. Apparently, I was not at the meeting when it was tabled before, but I would like for it to be looked in, and the basis for Mr. Kaufman doing an investigation. Who approved it, and was it approved by a board of directors or in some secret meeting?
Mr. President, there's a motion on the table.
As far as discussion, you know, I assume there is a motion on the floor. Secretary Escalera.
Motion put forth by Director Dr. Taylor, second by Vice President Kyle Crowther to approve this item. Director Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
No.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
No.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Channing Hawkins?
Abstain.
The motion fails.
Moving on, being the next motion, number 8 for Leo and Trejo. General Counsel, can I ask for clarification? We did deal with a good number of their bills 2 meetings ago. These bills here, what are they pertaining to?
These are key TAM bills.
Okay. What is currently as item number 8 is the approval of payment to Lil Trejo for professional services rendered June 2019 through November 2019, June 2019 invoice number 17648 for $44,344.94, July 2019 invoice number 17685 for $1,581.34, July 2019 invoice number 17686 for $41,717.50, September 2019 invoice number 17717 for $15,000, August 2019 invoice number 17718 for $16,000, November 2019 invoice number 17764 for $942, September 2019 invoice number 17765 for $28,500. November 2019 invoice number 17795 $657.15, October 2019 invoice number 17796 $20,282.
I'm sorry, President Hawkins, just a minor correction. Invoice number 17687 is for $41,717.50. Not 16,000.
Which
14,000. 17687. I believe you read 41,000 okay. And left off the remainder.
Ricky, can you do some quick calculations of what the totals of this bill is?
$169,068.82.
And that's for the, well, we don't have Lil and Trejo here. And think. Okay, so what was the number again? 100 and?
$169,068.82.
And 82 cents. So 170, almost 170,000 for the key TAM litigation.
Have no authorization for this.
Now this lawsuit here, I don't want to go into everything. I know it's a very controversial matter, but you know, as a ratepayer and the president of the board, I know we're looking at $170,000 to deal with this suit. And, you know, I definitely want to see the attorney from Lil and Trejo's part of our next closed session meeting to get an update on the status of this case and for the board to hopefully be able to come together so we can figure out the direction that we need to go with this. You know, this bill is rather high. It's rather high, and the ratepayers are paying for it. And it's time for, you know, some contemplation, some thinking about what may be the responsible thing here as we accumulate this bill. What will be the outcome at the end of this litigation, and you know what we can do next. I don't really want to go further than that, but you know this is $170,000 that we are forking over, and we have to do some soul searching on where we're going with this thing. If we could, we need to have Lil and Trejo, their attorney, here, so we can kind of talk about where we are with these bills and where we are with this case and what we need to do. And I know there's some complications to this situation, but we need to get in a constructive conversation on, in my mind, bringing some resolution to some of this stuff.
I will request their presence at the next meeting, Mr. President.
Okay.
Mr. President, just so you know, when we do have the next meeting, and counsel, correct me if I'm wrong, some of the board cannot be present during the discussion, so maybe their questions will never get answered, and this will continue to be continued, just FYI, so you know, for the next meeting. And that's because of legal reasons for being conflicted and stuff like that. I just thought I'd mention that.
As far as any type of constructive conversations about this situation, and is there a path? I mean, I guess I don't even know who to properly staff with finding out how we can set up a format to where we can have some conversations about this.
I think if the board wanted to have conversations about it, they should set up something with Leal and Trejo, and you know, have that meeting. Because I can't give any advice on the QTAM, and there's no other lawyer to do that.
Let the court decide.
I understand that. This lawsuit is a very sensitive matter. I understand that it is also one of the things that is also something that I, as someone newly on the board, I think, and I look at the accumulation of this bill at $170,000, as much as being involved in litigation, it comes at a cost. And it doesn't come at a cost really to me as a board member. It comes at a cost to me as a ratepayer, because our resources are now being expended on this lawsuit. And we're in a situation where in seeking the most efficient and appropriate resolution, we have to figure out some unique and alternative ways in doing that because of what this is doing to our agency. And so in that regard, I do know I want to set up an opportunity to just talk with the attorneys there. I don't want to really comment further. We have to think long and hard about, you know, at what cost is the resolution and litigation of this lawsuit coming, and who is paying for it? Who is going to pay for it?
Can I make a suggestion, Mr. President? I'll make the motion to move this to the next meeting. I also, part of that motion would be that on our special meeting on the 24th, maybe we can have a representative here to maybe answer some of your concerns. The 25th, I'm sorry, to answer your concerns, so we can have this ready to do an up-down vote on the 6th to pay the bill for the work they've done. They are legally, as a matter of law, the legal representative representing the district, so they are doing the work. The bill's going to continue to increase as they go back to court on this. It's just part of a lawsuit was filed, and they're our representative, and they're doing their job. So that's what it is.
Okay. As far as having them as part of the special meeting on the 25th, we do want to request that so we can answer the questions that my board fellow director just put forth.
So you'd like Leal and Trejo in closed session on the 25th?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions or anything with discussion on this item?
I think we had a first. It was our second.
That's okay. My motion.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Second the motion. Secretary Escalera.
Director Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Abstain.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Channing Hawking?
Yes.
I think I do need to make for the record then, if Dr. Young is abstaining because this is a key TAM, then he shouldn't have been involved in the discussion. If that's why he's abstaining. If he's not abstaining for that reason, that he's not conflicted, that's a different story. But if he's abstaining because he's conflicted, he should not be involved in the discussion.
Thank you, Council.
Clarify what you mean. What does that mean?
So if Dr. Young abstained because he's conflicted, mm-hmm. when someone's conflicted, they're not supposed to participate in the discussion. So I'm simply making that for the record.
So you're talking about future discussions on the...
No, this actual discussion where he said, let the courts decide and the other things that he whispered to you. He should not have been involved in that discussion because he's conflicted. This is a key TAM.
Counsel, you're conflicted. Michael Taylor's conflicted. Crowder is conflicted.
I'm sorry, I'm not a part of the lawsuit
based
anymore.
Based on what?
They're conflict. They're part of the lawsuit.
No, we're not.
Yes, they are.
The court dismissed that complaint where you tried to add them. No, that is
no,
the truth.
It's not dismissed.
Right now, I think this is indicative of the challenge of what this lawsuit is and what it means to the folks watching on Facebook or the ratepayers who are working to feed their families. I don't really understand fully everything. All I know is that we're paying the bill, and that's a problem for me. It also is presenting substantial problems with us being able to pay our bills and the governance of this organization and us being functional and being able to do the work. So with that being said, I don't know if Dr. Young is required to tell us exactly why he abstained. I don't think there's a legal requirement for him to do that. Your points are duly noted. However, that does not change the fact that we're going to go ahead and have this meeting with this law firm on the 25th to figure out what's the best way for us to move forward. All right, being that items 9, 10, and 11 were tabled, we're moving to item number 12. Which is agreement with MuniTemps for the interim position of human resources and risk manager. This item is being brought to the board via an emergency action. We went through a process of interviewing two separate firms regarding seeking service for an interim human resource manager. As you all may be well aware, we do not have a permanent person in position, and we collectively wanted to have someone that can fit a few criteria. One, we wanted someone who had an advanced education in human resources and had been fully certified and verified, and particularly in the public sector. I don't have to belabor the point that having someone who is experienced and knows what they're doing in the public sector is very important in order to decrease potential exposure to litigation. There are a number of policy changes that we need to make regarding our HR practices and making sure that we're complying with the new laws, making sure that we're complying with the best practices in the industry. We needed someone who could come to this organization who is not affiliated with any of the board members, who has their own opportunity under contract to do what it is that they need to do. I'm not going to get into all the intimate details, but this person is coming here. The duration is likely to be 6 months. They cannot be relieved for anything less than cause. As you know, with these kind of contracts, those additional exceptions with duration and ensuring that if they are relieved of duty, that it will be because of cost. I think regarding to the reporting structure, because of the sensitive nature of some of the investigations that would be going on, we can talk about that. We'll be reporting to the executive committee. There's a number of actions and things that needed to be reviewed in that regard. The executive committee is myself and Vice President Crowther. And it is absolutely paramount that we get the ball rolling. I don't think I have to tell anybody in this room or anybody listening on live stream that we, as they say, we got issues. And they need to get fixed, and we need somebody who has the authority, the experience, and the background to get us where we need to be. And so with in the unique and acute situation that we're in, we as a board have come together to want to take action on this contract for, in this agreement with MuniTemps for the interim position of human resources and risk manager. Are anybody else want to add any comments or ask questions?
I put a motion forward.
I'll second it.
Okay. He didn't get where. Okay. let me complete the motion.
Oh, I thought you were moving.
Let me complete it. I move that we approve this on an emergency basis for a period of 6 months.
Mm-hmm. I'll second it.
Mm-hmm. Any discussion?
Just real brief. I do want to thank President Hawkins for making that disclosure, because I did have some concerns about the process that we got to as far as selecting this, but I do support the emergency need. We do need to get someone in here right away to start addressing some of the many issues that we know exist. But thank you, President Hawkins, for that clarification.
And I also want to say that in regard to the statements that I made, I believe it was a collective thinking of all the board members. I want to thank Greg Young and Dr. Young and Dr. Taylor and Kyle Crowther for their insight on this, because it's really important, and that everyone understands that there is a collective need that we act pretty immediately. So with that being said, Secretary Escalera, can you take the vote?
Mr. President, point of information, the board secretary brought up a good point, and that is the contract that's in your agenda is not the contract that's going to be approved. The contract that's going to be approved is the one that you identified with the additional terms, only for cause, 6 months, and a 30-day termination clause. So that's the one that that we have, that's you're going to pass, but it's not in here.
Okay. Can you repeat that?
Yes. So the contract that's in your packet is not the accurate contract. Everything is the same except for three things. Number one, the contract they're acting upon right now says that he can only be terminated for cause.
What does that mean?
That means that there has to be some reason why they're terminated that would justify a termination. That's done on a case-by-case basis, but it can't be at will. In other words, an at-will employment is you can be terminated for any reason or no reason at all. That it cannot be. It has to have a reason and a justifiable reason. So that's just cause. Number two, it's going to be for 6 months. And number three, there's a 30-day termination notice. So usually in these kinds of temporary contracts, if you didn't want someone to come back to work tomorrow, you called MuniTemps and said, we don't want Mr. Pignon or Mr. whoever or Mrs. whoever coming back tomorrow. And they call the temporary employee and say, okay, your assignment's over. In this case, we can't do that because of this contract. We have a 30-day tail, so it's essentially a 30-day notice period. So those are the only things that are different from the actual contract that you have in the packet.
Mm-hmm. I accept that as an amendment to the motion.
I have a technical question for legal. Okay. Legal, can we still take action on it even though the published one is different than what we're voting on?
Yes, because what you do is you just make those changes on the dice.
Okay.
You are allowed to do that, but you have to identify it, and you have to say what it is, and it has to be part of the motion, as Dr. Young has done.
Okay, thank you.
He made an amendment to the motion. Is that amendment seconded?
It is. Okay. I second it.
All right. And just one last point of discussion. It was just critical that we had someone who had, in this particular situation, had the security to know that they're here to do the job and that that's what they're going to have the ability to do, what they believe in their professional judgment, and that we felt it was necessary to have that in this time. It was absolutely necessary. And so with that being said, Secretary Escalera, please call the vote.
Director Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Channing Hawkins?
Yes.
And Mr. President, for the record, we did look at more than just one company,
yes,
more than just Community Temps.
Yes.
And we did interview multiple candidates, I believe, as many as four.
Yes. And yes. And as I understood, they were all very qualified. And I don't want to get into all the reasons. But, you know, we have a lot of work to do. And somebody wanting to come in here and be a part of our family, even temporarily, it took some work to get somebody who wanted to come be with us. I'll just say that. Moving on to
Mr. President.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion, unless need to pull any of these for discussion, that we move items 13 through 16. Mm-hmm. That is my motion.
Let me see. Item 13. That's approval of the resolution on a temporary hiring freeze. I guess we mm-hmm. finally settled on language on that.
I would like separate discussion. I would prefer separate discussion.
Okay. And right. Then item number 14, approve the change order for the customer service 4-year.
I also want discussion on that.
All right, I rescind my motion.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. Let's,
You tried. Okay. Item number 13, resolution 2020-1, approving a temporary freeze on hiring district personnel, page 343. Secretary Escalera, can you read the resolution?
Yes, President Hawkins. Resolution number 2020-1 is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the West Valley Water District approving a temporary freeze on hiring of district personnel. Would you like me to read the body of the resolution?
I don't think that's necessary. Okay, so with that being said, any?
I just wanted a brief discussion on this, Mr. President. I've kind of vacillated on this particular item from last time and then this time. I'm not going to support this, although I do support the hiring freeze itself. To me, I just fear that this doesn't go far enough. So with that being said, you know, we do need to take some significant actions. I am pleased with the action we just took on item 12, but to me, I just, you know, really kind of have had a hard time coming down as a firm yes on something that I feel just doesn't go far enough. To me, it's kind of akin to putting a lock on a barn door to keep the horse in, but the horse is not only gone, it took the carriage with it, and it's in the whole next county. There's so much which has already transpired. This doesn't even begin, in my mind, to address a lot of those issues. So I will be abstaining on this. I will not vote no against it, but I cannot just bring myself to fully support it at this time.
So okay, Mr. President, you. I make the motion that we pass item 13.
Second. Is there a discussion? Who motioned? Dr. Taylor did.
Dr. Taylor.
We have discussion.
Okay. The second.
Who seconded it?
I second it. You did. Discussion.
Are there any major issues you have with this, Greg?
I just don't think it goes far enough because it doesn't even begin to address the numerous hires and changes which the general manager had already made. Again, it's just trying to put a cap on it. It's like trying to say, well, we locked the safe, but they already robbed the bank. So to me, I just have been gripping with that personally because it's just like, yeah, hiring freeze sounds good, and that might have been good a year ago, but at this point, the damage is already done. So, like I said, I
I'm not voting no. I still think that if you want to do a freeze, that's fine. But I just can't say 100% yes.
I thought the effective date was the day we initially brought this forward, which was 2 weeks ago, which was, what was that, Board Secretary, what day was that? December 19th?
December 16th? December 19th, yes. Was the last meeting we had. The date on this resolution has been changed to today, however, if you would like to amend that.
Oh, okay.
I believe that we gave the
direction to the general manager on December 19th.
Not hire anybody until the...
Right. And
we gave the direction prior to approving it, too.
Yes, yeah, that's what I just said.
Right, we gave the direction.
What was the effective date
of the resolution or the direction? Let me just...
Direction.
Okay. Direction should have been December 19th that evening.
For any, have we made any changes since then?
Only staff that was onboarding at the time.
What do you mean by onboarding?
In other words, there were people at the time.
Extended an offer to.
Yes, that's correct.
How many were there?
About three people.
And I don't want to, okay, no, okay, yes.
I'm not going to get into a personnel discussion.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into a personnel discussion, but Greg, speaking to that point, I think that this is a first step. This is something that was required to stop, you know, whenever you're bleeding, the first thing you do is got to get your suture to stop the bleeding. And then you can go in and do what's necessary as far as the next steps. And so now that we're taking this step, I think it's important. We're bringing in somebody who can help guide us along the way so we can right the ship. And, I hope you will consider supporting this item because it was a first step measure and we have some additional work to do. It would be improper if we got into all of the personnel matters in this dais if you wanted to go further. However, I assume there will be briefings and other opportunities where you can learn more about what the plan is and what we're going to do next. But with that being said, Secretary Escolari, if you could call for the vote.
Director Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Abstain.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
And President Channing Hawkins?
Yes. Yes. Moving on, item number 14, authorization to approve the change order number 4 for the customer service foyer renovation.
I move the item.
I'll second. Oh, Dr. Taylor seconds
it. I'll second it.
I do have questions for staff on this item.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. My name is Rosa Gutierrez, senior engineer for the CIP department. Yes, Mr. Director.
Good evening. Thank you for coming up, Rosa. I was a little puzzled when I read this in the packet because I believe, and I had to go back and check, on the 19th we just did a notice of completion on this project. So now we're getting another change order after we said it's complete?
Yeah, it's substantial completion. These are change orders that didn't make it to the previous change order. We will not record the document until the project is 100%. So that was just the permission to record it when we did reach our 100%.
Were we aware of these this coming? Last time?
Yeah, we discussed this in the Engineering and Planning Committee, and there are a few more items that are still pending that are being negotiated, okay. So we do anticipate one more.
Okay. Okay, well, that's fine. I mean, as a son of a contractor, I thought some of these things could be foreseeable, but I'm not going to belabor that. But I would just ask that if we're doing a notice of completion, I think it would be good in the future if you could just let us know if there's any soon to be coming change orders. Because again, I was kind of like, wait, didn't we just already complete this one?
Yeah.
So I was just a little taken back by it.
Oh, it's okay. And I do appreciate that. Yeah. And just to let you know, I am announcing that we have one more. Okay. And that's going to wrap up all our change orders and the project.
Okay, perfect. Okay? Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Nope. When is it going to be ready?
Okay, so we're having a little bit of an issue with one of our clearances. That was something that was overseen on the plan, but we are anticipating to have it done by February beginning. Yeah.
All right, just a few weeks. All right,
yeah,
everybody.
Just a few weeks. So
okay.
Almost there. Thank you.
All right. With that being said, Secretary Escalera, if you can take the vote.
Director Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Channing Hawkins?
Yes.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion that we move items 15 and 16 forward.
I have a couple of questions.
Forget it. I'll take it back.
I have a couple of questions on 16.
Okay.
That I've been holding.
Okay.
I'll move item 15.
I'll second it.
Okay. Secretary Escalera.
You guys are faster than I could write. Director Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yep.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Channing Hawkins?
Yes. Item number 16, consider approval of CEQA notice of exemption for the Lytle Development Company to construct stormwater and surface water catch basins for West Valley Water District to replace existing basins under a community facilities district agreement.
Is this the exemption?
That's the exemption, yes.
I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I haven't read this yet. I just got it. We're building the facilities. Lytle Creek is paying for building the facilities.
That's correct.
And then they turn the facilities over to us?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there additional facilities that they are building that we will have to pay for?
That will be a part of the contract negotiations. The facilities that they're building, is their purpose is stormwater, right? Because they're building, paving a lot of area, so they have to put in stormwater basins.
Okay.
Eventually, though, the basins that we're using, if you look at the map that's attached, eventually, once they build where you see the blue basins at the top,
right,
they plan to build over that area. So they're going to be building more basins a little bit south of that, plus the ones that you see in the green area. So we're trying to take those basins so that when we have diversions from Romer, we have a place to go.
So
plus,
we pay for those additional.
They're going to build a basin, I'm just going to use an example, 10 feet deep, and that's just an example. But for our additional flow, they may have to go 12 feet deep.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're trying to get them to cover as much of the cost in the CFD as possible. However, if they don't cover the cost, we will incur some costs, but we don't know what that is until we negotiate the agreement. However, we're trying to get the environmental out of the way.
I understand that.
Yeah.
This is just getting the environmental out of the way.
That's just the environmental.
This is not committing us to any cost.
It's not, no, because we have to sign the CFD before we're committed.
All
right. Real quick question, since you provided this lovely map here.
Let's give Talat and Linda the credit.
Well, thank you both.
Thanks, Talat.
I don't know if there's any way we can put that up on the big screen, but I know that we have the means to transport that flow from Romer to the current basins we have now.
Yes. It's a short distance.
It's a very short distance. And so my question is, are they building a line for us to be able to
That's a part of what's incorporated.
Okay.
That's a part of the negotiation.
Okay. Yeah, so that's part of that agreement that we're currently looking at.
Yes.
Okay. But this is just to do
the
CEQA.
Right. Yeah. The work that we would want beyond what they've already gotten environmental approval for, this is for that.
I mean, I know we've had the discussions about this project going back some time, and we had talked about having to relocate those basins. This is the first time I've actually seen where the proposed new basin is. But yeah, I would just be curious as to the cost of, because that's quite a bit further away now, and that's not just like a regular line.
No, and these are not all the basins that they intend to build.
Okay, so
these are just the first stage.
The first
stage. They will be building more basins, as well.
Now, Will they be transitioning to these basins first while they take out the existing ones?
Okay, we're trying to take ownership of the southernmost basins.
First. Okay.
And as they build north,
more.
Then more basins will come in and we'll take over those. And these others that are at farthest north right now will go out of service.
Okay. Yeah, well, we can talk more in the other discussion.
And we have a lot of negotiating to do.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
I understand that. Is there a possibility of giving us a big picture overview of the project?
Oh, yes. And we can do that as a part of the...
It seemed to have changed since the last time I saw it.
Well, I've seen some drawings and things have changed, but they're developers and...
I mean, major changes, so that we get a idea of the big picture of the project?
Yes. And actually, we can actually have, Kevin Lynch from Lytle Development come in and talk about the project.
I don't need them. I just need...
Oh, okay.
To come in. They're salespeople. I need to know an overview of the project.
Okay, we can...
It was 720-some homes, now it's down to 500. Do we know
Yeah,
that?
I think 589 or something like that. Linda, how many homes is it now? Okay.
I didn't hear.
776? Okay.
So still at the 700 level. Okay. I heard a rumor, so.
No, I thought I heard 580-something at one time.
So.
Yeah, but what I heard at City Council was 700-something.
Okay. So.
I was just going to say I'll move item 16.
Well, I did want to give some direction. I do agree with Dr. Young. I do want to report the big picture about this. I'm new. I know nothing about this project. And I think if one of the more senior members needs to have a clearer understanding on where we are with the overall, I definitely need it. And okay. So I do want to advise that you, staff, Linda, and others can put us together a report about where it is.
Yeah, Linda's done reports to engineering and planning. I'm sure we can have a more updated one on whatever the current vision is.
Right. Okay. You were making a motion?
Again, I was just going to move item 16.
I'll second it.
Well, we should come up with some other things for Dr. Taylor to second.
Not a problem.
Okay. Secretary Escalera.
Director Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Channing Hawkins?
Yes. All right. Reports. Reports limited to 5 minutes. Please keep your presentations and handouts short. First, the board members.
I don't have anything.
All right. No report. Kyle?
No, sir.
Great.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief. I did want to kind of touch base on something. I've been having a discussion with someone over the past week. And, of course, Monday is Martin Luther King's holiday. And certainly it's a very important time, I think, for us to all reflect about where not only where we are as a society, but also where we've come. And I know I was having the conversation with someone about, basically just that. And, I was really blessed to grow up the way that I did here in the Bloomington area. I grew up in really the era after Martin Luther King and, really got to see, I think, a better world. Now, certainly we've got a long way to go in many, many respects. But, I look to my experience growing up at Bloomington Christian Schools. In particular, there's two people who personally mean a very lot to me. One of them's now gone. The other one, thankfully, still with us. And that's the Reverend Art and Nancy Cash, two African-Americans who grew up in the true Jim Crow South. And you would never meet more amazing people who loved Jesus and had hearts of love and never a negative thought in their mind, even though they grew up in some of the worst racism you would ever see. Mr. Cash served his country in World War II, suffered a very debilitating injury that left him legally blind, although he could still see, but fairly limited. And I can remember growing up with them as missionaries and then also occasional teachers of mine at the school. And I can remember many times that we would sing a song, you know, Jesus Loves the Little Children. And, you know, there's always a very important phrase that was very meaningful in my life and my upbringing that, you know, red, yellow, black, and white, we're all precious in his sight. You know, Jesus loves the little children of the world. And that's what I grew up in. They were hugely impactful in my life and have been throughout my life. And I look back on it as I was talking with my friend, you know, that, you know, how amazing it is that a white kid from Bloomington grew up, went to a granted private school. My parents sacrificed to send me to a private Christian education. It wasn't super exclusive. I mean, it was a working class Christian school. But I got to be in an environment with people of all racial backgrounds. And in fact, my best friend still to this day and from junior high and high school is an African American. And he was from Rialto. And the idea that after everything this country went through in its long history, and especially with what Dr. King fought for, that just really just, you know, not even a generation later, that I would grow up and my best friend would be an African American, and we wouldn't think that there was anything wrong with that. You know, and so for as much as we can bemoan where we are as a country at times, I think it's important, especially as we go into Monday, to really think about how far we have come. And particularly that, you know, it's easy to attack people who we might disagree with, throw around labels. But you know what? The biggest thing and the thing which made me think of the Reverend Cash is that, again, with everything they went through in their life, all the hardships and actually, you know, debilitating racism they had to face, you would have never known because all they had in their hearts was love. So as much as we may disagree, I would just encourage everybody just, you know, as you ponder Dr. King and what he stood for, he too had love in his heart. And sometimes it's really hard to love someone who you feel is persecuting you, but that's really at the heart of the message. You can choose fear or you can choose love. So on this day, I hope that you all consider the same as I have been in this lead up, talking to a good friend of mine. And I just wanted to make that point as we're right here the week before that momentous day. And I do also just want to thank everybody for coming out. Sorry again that our closed session went long. We have a lot to discuss, but I do appreciate you all sticking it out, and I hope you all have a pleasant evening. Hopefully we get some good rain. The storm, I don't see any rain out there yet, but God knows we need a lot more water. So so with that, thank you very much.
Dr. Young. All right, with that being said, I just want to wish everyone a great weekend. I'm glad we were able to make it through our entire agenda this meeting.
Mr. President, the board secretary brought something to my attention. I think it would be important for the board to consider. On the special meeting on the 25th, you continued that meeting.
Yes.
There was no closed session in that original agenda. As a result, you cannot have a closed session in that meeting, so you would have to notice another special meeting concurrently at the same time so that we can have a special a closed session.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
All right. Just everyone, take some time this weekend to reflect, spend time with your family, think about what we can do to make our world a better place. In the frame of Martin Luther King, I really appreciate Greg's comments about his experience, and you know, all of us have more in common than we do in difference. And so with that being said, legal, do you have any other reports?
No, thank you, Mr. President.
All right, General Manager, do you have any reports?
No reports.
All right, with that being said, everybody notate the upcoming meeting schedule. With that being said, let's adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right, there you go. All right, thank you.